Please stand by. Welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Enhanced Mainframe Developer Productivity for SOA Applications with Rational Business Developer. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll learn how Rational Business Developer supports a new class of developer, the business developer. It can help accelerate development and deliver higher quality web and service-oriented solutions that quickly address the needs of business users without requiring that developers understand the deployment platform. The speaker for today's conference is Stefano Sergi, Rational Business Developer and EGL Product Line Manager. At this time, I'd like to turn things over to Stefano. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. My name is Stefano Sergi, and I'm the Product Manager for the IBM Rational Business Developer, which is one of the new IBM Rational products designed to help companies modernize and deliver new business solutions. So let me move on to chart number two, where I'm going to quickly review the topics that I'm going to cover within the next 30 or 40 minutes. So first, what we're going to do is look at some of the business drivers that are shaping the way the IT is evolving. And within this context, we'll look more specifically at what we call the need for modernization. Then we'll take a closer look specifically at what the challenges are for building these modern business applications, in particular at what our customers indicate are the most pressing issues in application construction. And then we'll introduce the IBM Rational Business Developer product, which is the product that delivers the Eclipse-based tooling for the Enterprise Generation Language, or EGL, technology, which is IBM's newest business-oriented language designed to simplify development of today's cross-platform type of solutions and to increase programmers' productivity. And finally, we'll talk about some of our recent customer success using this technology, and we'll then wrap it up and open up for some questions. So let's move on to chart number three. What we see here is kind of a net of an IBM-sponsored study conducted in 2006, where we interviewed well over 700 CEOs from 20 different industries across 11 geographies. And the results were very interesting. They showed that after many years of kind of cost-cutting and focusing on efficiency and in improving, the business leaders really are starting to turn attention to growth. And they're seeing that innovation is one of the best way to achieve the growth that they need. And interestingly enough, two-thirds of those CEOs that were interviewed, they all agreed that major changes are going to take place in their business. And they also believe that companies that are able to lead within this innovation movement will be able to better differentiate themselves and will be able to see exponential growth. So when we talk about innovation, they actually refer to a much more expansive sort of unconventional view of innovation, not just the typical mix of innovation types like product innovation, service, and operational type of innovation, but they also were looking and talking way up to the core business model, innovating the business model. So with that as a backdrop, let's move on to the next chart. And it goes without saying that IT is a critical tool to support the change and the innovation of our businesses. One reality, however, reflected here in this chart by a quote by Gartner, is that the investments made 10 to 20 years ago are very valuable, certainly, in supporting the current business model and the current business operations. But at the same time, they also are getting in the way of how quickly businesses can change and can respond. So in order to turn IT into a catalyst for innovation rather than a hurdle to it, it's really necessary to transform and modernize the application architectures to enable that the IT people to become more efficient and to establish better processes and better tools. So let's now go to chart number five. And here, basically, we're spelling out in a little more detail the overall challenges that IT organizations face at large. On one side, you see that the demand coming to the IT from the new business initiatives, like the need for new processes, the expansion to new markets, the introduction of new products, and then undertaking totally new business models and things like that, are putting pressure to deliver these innovative type of business solutions. But on the other side, you see things like the need to adopt new application architectures like SOA and new technologies like Web 2.0, which are really great because they do favor agility and innovation, but they also bring a lot of technical complexity. And what we also see is the need to deal with the hard realities of flat budgets. You know, we hardly ever see increasing budgets in the IT departments, and I'm sure it is the case of many of you listening in today. And other things like old and monolithic type of applications, and also the availability of the right skills to deliver these new systems. You know, well, what we begin to see with a lot of our customers is it's really a deliberate effort to modernize the IT infrastructure to get themselves in a good position to do the things they need to do. And modernize the infrastructure in terms of transforming the existing application architecture, establishing new, better way and better development processes, you know, looking at ways to simplify and reduce, for example, the numbers of technologies, the number of tools and that they are currently using, and also looking for ways to enable existing developers to deliver a broader variety of services than the ones that they are used to deliver now, services that can cut across different platforms and different business solutions. So, Let's move on to the next chart where we actually kind of introduce IBM's blueprint to enterprise modernization and where the focus of the IBM solution really is in terms of enabling companies to modernize. We've been looking at the issue of IT and modernization, and we have unveiled a set of solutions and technologies, products, and best practices that allow you to tackle what we believe is these key aspects summarized in this blueprint. Now, first, certainly in order to be able to leverage and reuse the existing IT assets, we need to understand what we have, basically have an electronic inventory and be able to really know how to deal with it. And then we need tools to help us transform it and reuse it in new ways. The other thing is that we need to embrace service orientation as the actual architectural underpinning of this transformation. And then a third aspect of the modernization is actually the introduction of the right processes and the introduction of software development infrastructure that supports these new development processes and can support cross-platform solutions and can also be shared by all the different people and the different roles within the development team. And finally, and maybe most importantly, a critical aspect of modernization is to quickly build a flexible and portable development workforce, a workforce that is able to deliver applications fast and services across many different middlewares and different platforms, regardless of what their current or past skill was. And the skill issue is really, really important. The ultimate goal of this modernization is to be able to achieve totally new levels of efficiency that allow to reduce cost and of the maintenance and upkeep of the current application inventory, and so the current budgets can then be more and more of that budget can be then dedicated to more strategic type of initiatives. So let's move on to the next chart, and let's focus on the specific key challenges or the key problems facing the actual implementation of modern software solutions. So what we have observed is that you can really group these different challenges in three broad areas or categories. You know, one is the existing applications. You know, they are a challenge because these are the applications that are already there. They're good. They're sustaining the business day to day, and they're very valuable because they really incorporate and embody a lot of business knowledge. However, you know, at the same time, they are a hurdle, as we said, and as Gartner also mentioned in the beginning, because they're very hard to repurpose. They are monolithic. They're typically, you know, not written with reuse in mind or with modularity in mind. So they were written for a particular purpose at the time, and when the purpose changes, it's very hard to readapt. And so also they're very, very costly to maintain and expand. And so they take up a big part of the current IT budgets. So that's one aspect of the problem, right? The other aspect of the problem is skills. And here we really have three facets, three distinct sub-facets of the issue, of the skill challenge. One facet is that developers are usually very specialized, and they are very good at what they do. But typically, they only know one thing, one technology, one specific environment, and unfortunately, you can't take them and port them across project, especially when the project involves deployment to platform different from the ones they're used to. For example, a developer who is very well versed in Kix may not be able to write Java applications, or may not be able to write web applications using JavaScript. And then a developer who is very good at web development, on the other end, typically is not able or doesn't even understand what Kix is and be able to write a COBOL Kix program. And also, these people typically use different tools, different languages, different processes, and they have to work together to build end-to-end solutions. There's a lot of fragmentation and difficulty of communications. So the skill issue, the fact that you can't, port people, the silo issue is a very big one. The second aspect of the skill issue is that a lot of business savvy people, the ones that really know the business best, don't fully specialize or understand the emerging new technologies with which you want to deliver new modern solutions. So, typically, if you want to retrain these people, it can be a very, very long process, and it can cost a lot of money. And many organizations can't afford neither the time nor the cost. And third, and maybe more subtle aspect of the skill issue, is the fact that there is an erosion of people that understand the traditional platform, the trusted mainframe platforms. And so these are all issues. You can't go hire a new guy out of the university and put him immediately to create IMS applications or services for Kix. So there are lots of facets to this skill problem, and which is really where the technology that we would discuss on this conference is focusing on addressing, right? And then finally, the third big challenge is the reality of the proliferation of platforms and middlewares and technologies in any IT shops. It's hard to find an IT group that is homogeneous in one environment and in their computing platform. typically you'll find that we find that there are a lot of different operating systems, different hardware, software, different middleware layers, et cetera. And this just adds to the complexity in terms of, you know, dealing with all these different distributed solutions across the different platforms. So the bottom line is that these three key challenges make delivering solutions very slow and sometimes having to make some compromises and cut corners or maybe do things in one way where the ideal way would be another. And typically you want to deliver what you want to deliver or not what you can deliver. And so let's move on to the next chart and start a look at this problem from a developer point of view. So from a developer point of view, you know, what does it take to build these applications today? You know, if you really take a closer look, it's kind of daunting. You know, let's say you need to build a web system that also accesses mainframe backend resources and you want to make sure that you create reusable services that may be part of an SOA, therefore then accessible also not only from this new system, but across, you know, line of business from other systems someone else is building independently of you. There are lots of different and different moving parts, lots of pieces, and each piece that you have to build typically comes with its own programming environment, its own special programming language, special coding requirements, standards, interfaces, and sometimes, often, each one has a different application design principle, so you have to learn those principles for each one of the technologies that you have to use to weave in the entire end-to-end solution. What this means is really that the application programmers end up spending a lot of time on technical intricacies before they can, you know, focus on solving the business problem that the application has to solve. And it's really daunting, and typically also it means that you have to assemble multiple people to build one of these things, and not one person can master all these intricacies. So bottom line, building these type of systems requires a lot of low-level, a lot of repetitive, error-prone, tedious coding, lots of different skills, and as I said, you know, the use of many different tools, each one with its own development approach and not exactly a high productivity environment. So let's move on to the next chart, which obviously this first one was the setup for this chart, which is that's the reason why IBM has been working on this technology for the past few years and has recently launched what we refer to as the newest business language, EGL, Enterprise Generation Language, a programming language that basically is designed to shield developers from those technical intricacies, especially of these web application and service-oriented middlewares. EGL basically provides a set of programming abstractions that allow to develop applications faster and with a lot less errors because you program at a much simpler, much more abstract level. The language itself is quite easy to learn, and the applications that you develop using the EGL language can be deployed to any choice of different platforms. So a developer who learns EGL, it's really a business service developer, not a Java developer or COBOL Kicks developer or Visual Basic developer or whatever. It's really a business developer because you develop something in a neutral language and then you deploy it to a Java runtime environment, onto a mainframe runtime environment, or you know, wherever you need. These type of developers can be shifted around projects, you know, regardless of their knowledge of platforms, knowledge of databases, you know, transaction management systems, and so forth. And you don't need a team of different people to create an end-to-end solution, browser to mainframe. A single developer can actually do it all. So let's go on to the next chart and talk a little bit about Rational Business Developer, which is the IBM product that delivers the EGL development tools. So Rational Business Developer is the EGL development workbench and provides a very simple and unified type of approach to the construction of end-to-end type of applications or services, even when these applications have to cross platform boundaries. So in this chart, what I've done, I kind of summarize what are the key characteristics of the Rational Business Developer that help customers deliver in a very short time these modern innovative type of solutions regardless of the skills of their programmers. So let me introduce these six aspects here, and then we'll take a closer look at each one with some examples in the next few charts. So first one is abstraction. Abstraction comes from the EGL concise and powerful notation, that the notation itself eliminates the coupling of the program with the systems and the middleware interfaces. So it doesn't surface at the language level the need to code to the middleware APIs. And that's very important because this not only reduces the amount of coding, but it also simplifies and speeds up the work of the programmers. The second thing is declaration. Declaration is the ability to associate rules or constraints in a declarative fashion rather than having to code them, you know, procedurally in your programs. And this, what it does is really helps reduce repetitive and error-prone coding. The third aspect is language. You know, often high-productivity environments come with a somewhat limited bandwidth language, a language that runs out of gas, so to speak. Therefore, we put a lot of attention into the language. The language itself provides a lot of flexibility, but also a lot of power. It's a comprehensive, modern, modular language notation, but at the same time, it's very easy to learn. The strength of the language is such that you never, or you know, maybe only occasionally, need to resort to other programming languages, where in high-productivity tools of the past, it was very common to have to go outside of the environment to do things that were more specialized. Another important piece of the technology is generation. This is really the smart part of the Rational Business Developer product. The simplified EGL specification has to be transformed into code that actually deploys natively whichever runtime platform you will deploy the application to. Because if you deploy natively, then you can take advantage fully of the qualities of service of the runtime environment. You can take advantage of the management and monitoring facilities of the system where you have the application in operation. So the code generation engine included inside the Rational Business Developer takes the EGL simplified specification and then transforms those into native Java or COBOL and creates also the deployment artifacts that go with them. Another of the key six areas that contribute to the power of the Rational Business Developer is tools. It's basically what we did. We extended the Eclipse IDE framework to support EGL development with a very, very rich set of tools that include, you know, smart editing, you know, visual construction, graphical navigation, all the things that you would expect from a first-class IDE, and also tools that allow to do web development, an interactive debugger, you know, all of the tools that make the development experience so much more productive, even above and beyond the inherent productivity of the programming paradigm. And finally, SOA. SOA, we have been talking about the need to deploy new architectures across the enterprise. And EGL has been designed from the ground up to simplify and to facilitate the development and the deployment of services. So the language itself comes with the notion of service, and then that is complemented with tools that take these services and generation technologies that take the services and allow you to deploy them as if you had written them natively. So developers, regardless of their skills, can easily create services or consume outside services without having to go and master the web services standards such as XML, WSDL, and so forth. So very powerful stuff. So these are the six things. Now let's just look at a few examples. Go to the next chart. And in this one, we see example, for example, of the abstraction. When we say abstraction, here's some things that, clarify. For example, the EGL notation for accessing data, persistent storage, is all based on an abstraction of data record. So why do we have that? Well, you can associate a generic data record to a database, to a file, to a message queue, but you logically, as you develop and program the your service or your application, you think of this thing and interact with it as a data record, which is a logical abstraction. Then you have some logical abstraction verbs such as get, add, replace. Replace this data record, or, you know, add this data record. And, you know, developer doesn't really need to learn and code all the data manipulation language statements of whatever database or file system you're talking to. The rational business developer does all the hard work of generating the code depending on the association of the data record with what physical data is stored. An example would be if you associate a data record with a relational table. So rational business developer will generate all the SQL statements. Another example of the abstraction is the use of a simple call notation that can be used to implement any type of either local or remote synchronous communication with other programs. And that will be done to hide all the technical details on protocols, data mapping, you know, and things like that. So, for example, you can code a simple call to a COBOL program from an EGL web page. That's it. You don't need to worry about anything else. And that's pretty powerful. Abstraction is also used in the way that RBD and EGL define different application user interfaces. So, for example, to interact with or create J2EE web pages or BERT reports or portlets or, more recently, you know, AJAX type of rich web interfaces, in all cases, EGL provides an abstraction that simplifies the way programmers interact and exploit these technologies, right? And so these are just some examples. On this chart, we also see an example of the RBD, Rational Business Developer, declarative programming capabilities. Here, for example, you see how we can simply associate some property to an EGL data item, and in this case, you know, a social security number data item, to automatically trigger validation rules and, you know, the use of display labels, formatting the data in a certain way, and all of this with no procedural coding so that anytime that the data element is used in an application, these rules are automatically applied with no coding. They're really powerful. Let's go on to the next chart. I mentioned this before, EGL it's a modern, powerful language, but it's also simple and very familiar. So if you know any modern programming language, you instantly kind of know EGL. Certainly you'll have to, you know, go through some training, but it's essentially learnable in a matter of weeks. And it comes with a very comprehensive, rich notation that it's good for fulfilling most sophisticated business application requirements. So it comes with rich data types, keywords, you know, things like high power language capabilities, what I call here, things like automated casting, exception handling, so on and so forth. It also includes, you know, built-in libraries of predefined functions so that you don't have to code commonly needed things yourself, functions yourself. And it also has a very easy and tight interoperability with other language. So let's move on to the next chart. And here we talk about the tools and power tools. You know, Rational Business Developer comes with a very rich IDE for EGL development and includes many, many tools that make developers more productive. For example, here we mention how RBD provides a very tight integration of the EGL programming notation with the J2E web page development tools. So you have tools that let you compose the page in a very effective way, and then there is no need to go learn intricacy of Java server faces, J2EE, and Java, but you simply code the UI logic behind that page directly in EGL because they are so tightly integrated. Another example, of course, the IDE itself, it's what you would expect from a, you know, first-class modern Eclipse-based tools with, you know, all the smart editing, SQL type of coding aids in case you are not satisfied with what is automatically created for you by EGL, things like code refactoring, and then, of course, a very powerful debugger that lets you test the application just as you are writing it with no need for compilation and deployment. Regardless of where ultimately it will be deployed, you can functionally detect all the errors in your application or service at the EGL level as you define them. Extremely powerful. And then, of course, there are also other tools like model-driven development tools that allows you to take UML models or database tables and then create automatically EGL functions and fully functional applications or web services. This can all contribute significantly to your productivity. Now let's move on to the next page and talk a little bit about services. You know, we mentioned earlier how EGL was designed, from the ground up to support service orientation. And what I'm doing here is basically visually give you a translation of what I meant. You see here that there is, within the language itself, the ability to define a service part. A service part is a generatable part, so you can actually define it as an EGL service, as a language element. But then you can also take it and generate it and then deploy it either as an EGL service within EGL to EGL or as a web service, if you so wish. And what this does is the generation and the runtime libraries take care of all the complexity, XML mapping to EGL variables and all of that, so that the developer really can focus on the application architecture and the business problem. Another important part of the support for services is the interface part. The interface part is a notation that allows an EGL developer to actually talk to a web service without knowing that it's talking to an EGL service, as if it were a native EGL service. Very, very interesting, and enables, you know, people with little knowledge of web services to really be quickly efficient in developing SOA solutions. Let's go to the next page and talk a little bit about the flexibility afforded by Rational Business Developer, not just the productivity. Rational Business Developer allows you to really respond to a very broad variety of application requirements and with very true end-to-end application development approach. You can create, for example, web applications, as we said before, but also you can create traditional text-based type of application. You can create rich user interface application, you know, Ajax Web 2.0 type of application. create reports. You can create batch type of applications, and of course, we mentioned services. So there is really no limit in terms of topology and the flexibility of solutions you can build. From a platform standpoint, you can deploy, as you see here, your EGL applications and services to any platform, System I, System Z, and within System Z you can deploy to Kix, to IMS, in batch partitions, to USS, and Linux, and of course to WebSphere if you generate the Java from the EGL. If you generate COBOL, you will deploy batch Kix or IMS. And then, of course, with Java generation, you can deploy to any Linux, Unix, or Windows environment, to either WebSphere, to Tomcat, or native with a Java runtime. Most recently, we have introduced a tech preview of our support for JavaScript generation and deployment of AJAX-compliant type of user interfaces. And so EGL, essentially, it gives you a lot of flexibility. So let's move on to chart number 16. I've been going through a lot of details in the past few charts. I thought it would be appropriate to kind of summarize it in one synoptic table, if you will. It is good to see, that all the things we talked about, they all contribute in some fashion to provide power, flexibility, simplicity, productivity, and robustness of your solutions. And that's really what this is all about. It's one integrated, unified type of solutions that lets you be more productive, more flexible, and respond to the business needs. So if you go to the next chart, you will now see that we reconnect to the three main challenges that I introduced earlier on. The three main challenges being the existing applications, the skills issue, and the cross-platform. And you see how Rational Business Developer can help you face each one of these and contributes to responding to these challenges. For example, if you look at the issue of existing applications, EGL, we said, provides the ability to invoke these systems directly, not through any adapters, wizards, and whatever, but very simple native language verbs. So developers don't need to worry about protocols, data bindings, transformation of data, things like that. It all is very seamless. And if you combine this with the simple invocation mechanism, with all the things we talked about, the ability to define and generate services, then obviously you can quickly, within that AGL service, wrapper up and service-enable your legacy applications. You can also, if you know that you can build EGL web stuff, you can see how combining this with this simple connectivity immediately lets you extend to the web, legacy systems. There is another aspect of existing applications that I want to bring up here. EGL can play a good part in transforming, not just extending legacy systems. We saw that EGL is very concise, it's procedural, it's very modular, and that what that does is makes it an ideal target for automated tools to transform a legacy source code into EGL so that you can then repurpose it and redefine it or extend it into web and SOA solutions. So it's a great way, instead of having to reverse engineer some procedural old 4GL like Natural or APS or even COBOL, into something like Java, which is OO, and therefore the mapping is kind of difficult. This makes it much easier and much more automatable. And in fact, we have a number of business partners who specialize in application transformation and re-engineering. and they have created automated tools and provide transformation services to actually do these type of transformations. So it's really your choice how you deal with this legacy, but AGL can be a catalyst for the modernization. If you look at a skills issue, then EGL, I mean, this is really the EGL and rational business developer sweet spot. EGL is very, very easy to learn, and you can actually measure the learning curve in weeks rather than months or years. So, you know, regardless of where you're coming from, where your old skills were. And since all of the developers now can be proficient in EGL, you know, no matter where they come from, whether they're new hires or you know, old COBOL programmers or existing 4GL programmers, whatever, you know, you don't need to specialize in any runtime technology. They are all in the same plate. If you use the rational business developer, then you immediately have a very flexible pool of development resources. You no longer have islands and silos. And you can be very, very responsive to your business. And then finally also, you know, as the platform skills erosion proceeds, it's people that are experts in IMS or KIX or COBOL even, you know, retire, new hires, instead of having to learn all that, they can easily learn EGL because it comes natural to them. And then they don't have to learn the nuances of KIX. They just ask the generator to create the KIX services to deploy to that trusted mainframe environment. So a very, very interesting contribution to the skills issue. And then, of course, you know, the issue of platform middlewares and proliferation and fragmentation. You know, the fact that you have EGL that is runtime agnostic and provide a higher level of abstraction, you know, immediately allows IT organization to target multiple platforms, reusing components across environments and so on and so forth. So let's now take a look at a couple of case studies before we close. Next chart, KBC. KBC is actually one of the top 10 banking groups in Europe. They are undertaking a strategic modernization initiative. Because they have to meet some business goals that are close to the ones that we discussed earlier in the beginning of this session. Their main goal is to reduce the number of tools, languages, technologies, and to create a pool of KBC business developers across their growing and geographically dispersed IT groups. So the skill silo is really the big one for them to tackle their modernization quest. So they've been actually growing by acquisitions in the last 4 or 5 years, and of course this has only exacerbated the proliferation of assets, application, duplication of applications, and so forth. So they want to solve the skills silo problem that limits their responsiveness and flexibility, and they start writing new company-wide type of systems. Then they need to be able to deploy them in different platforms. For in their case, it's to the IMS backend and to the WebSphere application servers in the distributed environment of some of their branches. They want to be able to leverage these developers across different projects as well as across platforms so that they can create service components that are applicable across the company regardless of who creates them. So EGL was really a natural choice. It was a good match. They have over 170 developers across Belgium, Central Europe, and India. They're all using Rational Business Developer to help them achieve their modernization goals. Let's take a look at another example really quick. APIS IT. APIS IT is the IT service provider for the government of Croatia and for the city of Zagreb. They will be coming to the Rational Developer Conference and speak about their experience and their choice of EGL to help them with their service-oriented architecture modernization. They are largely a mainframe KIX DB2 shop, and they have defined a very a very comprehensive SOA strategy. They have established the infrastructure for this SOA and to integrate all the different systems based on service orientation. They have adopted a whole methodology that is based on SOMA, service-oriented modeling and architecture, and they have established a technical framework. And then now, as the country of Croatia is preparing to join the European Union, they had to quickly develop new systems to comply with the EU requirement. And then, of course, these systems had to integrate and exploit the existing system with the new SOA. So it's a pretty big undertaking. So they will come to Orlando to the Rational User Conference and explain to us their key challenges as they tackle this development of the new systems. One of the key challenges was that they had a very tight deadline for the joining the European Union. The systems have to be up and running at a certain date, not negotiable. They also had the issue of a limited number and eroding mainframe skills, and so they needed to staff up, and they didn't have time to get the new people to learn everything about the mainframe and to learn all how the SOA can be done for the mainframe, et cetera. So they selected EGL because it allowed them not only, you know, to start with minimum training, and as you see here, it's really the key issue was that they were able to train people quickly, and they expect a very high, productivity out of this choice that they made. But also the fact that they were able and they had to use a set of very disparate background type of people all working on the same project very quickly, and the same SOA project. So this is a really good story. I hope that kind of gives you a sense of the reason, the rationale, and the benefits of this rational technology. So if your company is facing some of the challenges we covered, and rational business developer could be a very, very powerful solution to help you break the skill silo problem, to make you more responsive in delivering these modern type of innovative business systems, and in the process, you know, reducing the risk in tackling and undertaking projects like this, and also lower overall your cost and all with a minimum skill ramp up time, so that you can jump start these projects very, very quickly. So if modernization is in your agenda, I encourage you to visit our websites and learn more about how EGL can actually help you. And now I would like to turn it back to the operator for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Stefano. Now we'd like to ask that you participate in a brief electronic survey. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. For our first question, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. Or if it was low, press star 3. Question number 2, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference at the right level, press star 1, not technical enough, press star 2, or if it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Question number 3, would you define enterprise modernization as an important goal for your IT organization? Part of your company's top agenda items within the next 3 years? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. Question number four, are you developing or planning to develop web-based applications and or adopt a service-oriented architecture? For yes, press star 1. For no, press star 2. And our final question today, we hope you enjoyed the teleconference. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And that will conclude today's IBM teleconference. We thank you all for your participation. Have a nice day.